A number of years ago, a lady by the name of Linda was traveling from Alberta, Canada to the Yukon, going to a place called Whitehurst. She did not know that you do not travel to Whitehurst in the fall of the year in a beat-up, run-down Honda Civic. And so she set off where four-wheel drives dare to go. The first evening, she found a room in a little mountain hotel, and she asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call. And to her surprise, the clerk that was at the hotel looked at her with surprise and was amazed at her that she would get up at 5 o'clock to go ahead and make the journey across the mountains to Whitehurst, particularly in the kind of car she was driving. But she was a little bit taken aback. She didn't realize how dangerous it was, and so she got up at 5 a.m. and she went down to breakfast. And as she was seated there in the breakfast, there were a couple of truckers in the place having breakfast that morning, and she did not want to feel bad about it, but when one of them asked her where she was headed, she said, "Well, I'm going to Whitehorse. One of the truckers looked at her and said, "Is that your car out there in the parking lot, that Honda Civic?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, lady, you don't travel to Whitehorse this time of year. This is something that is very dangerous to do." And she thought about it that morning, because as she looked out, she saw the clouds all over the mountains, and she knew that it was a perilous journey. And she said, "Well, I'm determined to make this trip." And then so one of the truckers said, "Well, I guess I'm just going to have to lead you." And another trucker said, and I guess I'm just going to have to follow you. And as a matter of fact, we're going to hug you all the way to Whitehorse." And so that morning, as they begin their journey, one semi in front and one semi behind hugged Linda all the way through the perilous journey over the fog-shrouded, icy mountain tops and roads, and she made it safely to Whitehorse. What a wonderful picture of fellowship with those who have the power and the experience and the knowledge to help someone get through perilous times. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about someone who has that knowledge and that power and that experience to help you get through perilous times. And I want to talk to you this morning about how you can experience that hugging of God in your life to help you through the days. And this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 84. And we're thinking this morning about private worship or quiet time or devotion with the Lord. I'm convinced this morning that most of us, the reason that we slip and slide so much in life is because we are not hugging the Lord on a regular basis and allowing Him to hug us back. And so this morning I want to talk to you about personal worship. We're in a series of messages entitled New Beginnings, and I believe this is message number 5 or number 6. We've talked about priorities, we've talked about service, we've talked about salvation, we've talked about fellowship with the people of God, and there was one other message, I've forgotten what it was now, but this morning we're talking about your responsibility in personal worship. As we begin this message this morning, let me just tell you before I read the passage that in this psalm we understand that the psalmist is speaking, enunciating his desire and the blessings of being in the presence of God in worship at the tabernacle or the temple. And some say he's lamenting the fact that he can't be at the temple. Maybe he was far away, and we understand in the Old Testament God decided to pour out his fullness of presence in the tabernacle or in the temple. And so the psalmist is expressing, and this whole psalm is a wonderful expression of the benefits, the priorities, and the picture of one who dwells in the presence of God. It speaks about the love of the sanctuary to the psalmist. It ought to speak to us today about the love of church. And you know what I've discovered over the years is that we need this kind of affection for church, because the reality is that with all of the disinterest in church, it reflects ultimately a disinterest in God and Jesus Christ and His Word. And the truth of this psalm is that the psalmist, even more than a place, the psalmist is longing for the presence of God. He's longing for the presence of God. And as we think about this today, as Christians, we understand that this can be applied to our longing for heaven. Certainly, it's there. But a more centralized truth for us today is not just our longing for heaven, and not just our longing to go to the temple, the tabernacle, or the church to be in the presence of God and His people, but it expresses a longing for that personal presence of God in the heart, in the life. So I want to talk to you this morning about that. The indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit says to us, "Come and fellowship with me." And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hears my voice, I will come in and I will sup with him," or "I will fellowship with him and he with me." It's not just about a salvation, but it is about an abiding presence. And so this morning, as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, I want to just tell you that the Scripture speaks about some wonderful things about personal devotion. And I want to challenge you this morning to make personal devotion, daily quiet time, a priority and a reality for your life every morning. There's some practical ways we do that. We read the Bible, we pray, we sing praises to God, and some of you have such wonderful voices, the best place for you to sing is in that prayer closet with the door closed. I have a wonderful child that loves to make noise all the time. But when I hear this child singing to the Lord, I pause for just a moment and say, "Okay, he's praising God, so you let him do it, okay?" Let's take a look at God's Word. I'm going to ask if you would to please stand with me one more time this morning as we look at this. And then quickly, I want to talk to you about a new beginning in your private devotional life. Psalms chapter 84, beginning with verse number 1. "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to take your truth and point it at our hearts, and open us up to your will, and comfort us with your promises, and provoke us, O God, to do good in this land. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. Please go ahead and be seated. I want you to see there's a wonderful promise here for the believers. The Bible tells us that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to go to a tabernacle to worship God. You can worship God right where you are. That's not to say that we should neglect the worship of God with others, because the Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with others. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not just what you get out of it, but it's what you can give to others. And so it's a thing where we all all gathered together, we worship the Lord, we're receiving from the Lord, we're offering a praise unto the Lord, and we're encouraging one another. That's why your Sunday school class, your Sunday connection class is such an important part for you to have fellowship. You can have large group celebration and worship, but you can only have small group ministry within a smaller group. And so that's why we encourage you to have a small group Bible study, one of the reasons. But I want you to see this morning, we begin with the profitable potential of a daily quiet time or a daily devotion with the Lord. In other words, there is great profitable potential in a daily devotion life. You dare not neglect your daily devotions with the Lord because of the incredible profitable potential. Notice that the psalmist begins and says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, how dear, how beautiful." How rewarding. The word that's used here is a word that describes someone thinking about his beautiful wife. How lovely. Or his gorgeous children. How lovely. In other words, the psalmist says it is a great thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is a dear and a precious thing. And I want you to notice there are several reasons for that. In verses 1 and 2, we find that there is a fulfillment in life. Your life is truly fulfilled when you go to the presence of the Lord. When you take that inward journey and you seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Can I just say something to you this morning? You will never experience fulfillment in life unless you find fulfillment in fellowship with God. God made you and created you for a personal connection. And yes, there are a lot of ways you can connect with God, but I want to tell you the most important thing you can do is go privately, personally, into that quiet place where you commune with God. You know, humans have a desire for contact with others. Social media proves that. My goodness, think about all the different things of social media that we have. We have Facebook. We have Snapchat. We have, we used to have email. Now we don't even worry about email. I mean, we've got all these, and there's some other things. There's Twitter. I mean, we're in a constant, most people are in a constant movement to try and connect with other people. God made you for relationships. That's why God said it is not good for man to be alone. He needs a helper, a person that is suitable for him. And ever since the creation of Eve, man has been in communion with someone else. God desires communion with you. And there is the profitable potential of you having your heart, your soul, the longing of your very essence met in the courts of the Lord. You see, there's a restlessness, a longing in our hearts as human beings, a restlessness that can only be satisfied with the presence of the Lord, in the dwelling place of God. I got good news for you. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You can go to the Lord on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night. You can spend private devotion time with the Lord. I treasure my time in the morning with God. I treasure my time at night with God. I treasure those moments throughout the day when I can get alone and I can have communion with Him because God fulfills that desire I have deep within my soul. To worship, to know. You can put your ladder up against the wrong wall if you're not careful in this world. You can think fulfillment lies in a position. You can think fulfillment lies in material gain. You can think fulfillment lies in how many friends you have on Facebook. You can think fulfillment lies in all different skills and abilities and knowledge and all of that, but I've got good news for you this morning. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a beautiful, charismatic person. You don't have to be somebody who knows how to make money out of, you know, two coins or whatever. You don't have to have all that, but I'll tell you, you can find fulfillment in your life in private devotion with God. He made you that way. We have over and over in the Bible, we have example after example of people in the Bible who, when they spent time with God, God just blessed them. And I'll just, for the sake of time this morning, I'll just mention Moses. The Bible says that Moses went into the tabernacle at the meeting, the tent of meeting, and he met with God. And when he came out, his face was shining. He had been with God. The Bible tells us about Jesus Christ himself. It was his habit, his custom, to get up early in the morning, to go away and to pray, to spend time with the Father. And we all know what Jesus did. At least most of us do. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If you want to find fulfillment in your life, make a quiet time your pressing priority of the day. Secondly, I want you to see the Bible not only does it tell us that we can have the fulfillment, the soul longing is fulfilled, the heart longing is fulfilled, and even though you're fainting for the courts of the Lord, your heart and flesh will sing with joy to the living God when you experience that fulfillment. But secondly, verse 3 tells us something about the serenity that comes to those even walking in times of storm. Why don't you look at verse 3 just a moment? Psalm 84, it says, "Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." The pilgrim compared himself to a sparrow and a swallow. And some have said, some commentators have said, these birds are restless creatures. They're going here, they're going there, and they're apt to just, they're apt to just fly away quickly or whatever. But notice that they find a place of dwelling near the altar of the Lord. Now, I got to say this quickly this morning, but listen. There are two altars that are mentioned in Scripture in the Old Testament. There's the altar of brazen or burnt offering, which symbolizes Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And then there is the golden altar, which symbolizes his resurrection and his provision for us. And Jesus Christ, he is the one who has gone to the altar for us. And the Bible says that we can find serenity, we can find peace as we go to the Lord. I got to say it quickly this morning. Listen to me. Don't miss your daily quiet time, because it's in your daily quiet time when you will gain peace and serenity in spite of the storms of life. You know what happens when we really connect with God? When we really see the Lord high and lifted up? When we really receive the truth of His goodness through His Word, when we experience the fellowship of His Holy Spirit in us, who helps us in our prayer and gives us the grace to cry out, "Daddy, Daddy." It's not normal for men to cry out to God and say, "Daddy, Daddy," but the Holy Spirit helps us do that. When we experience that, I'm telling you, it is like Jesus being in the boat with us through the storms of life. There's a peace. I can't tell you the number of times that I have been concerned about something. And I'll just admit, times when I have committed a terrible sin of worry and faithlessness, and yet going into the courts of the Lord, going and dwelling in the presence of the Lord, I have gotten up off of my knees, maybe not always having the answer, but always having the assurance that God will help me through whatever it is that is coming my way. Oh my goodness. Fulfilled in life, serenity of spirit, and we didn't even talk about the fact that the bird is able to lay its eggs and raise its children in a place of peace, but it's there in God's presence. Don't forsake your daily devotions. The Bible tells us that there's the promise in this scripture, this serenity and storm, that it changes everything around us. Look, if you will, at verse 5 just a moment. Excuse me, verse 6. Verse 6 says, as they go through the valley of Baca, that is the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. Quickly, I'm just going to say that we're going through this life, this veil of tears, this valley of the shadow of death, this land that is harsh and cruel and dry and thirsty. And as we go through this land, as we dwell in the presence of the Lord, it's like there are springs. God can help you. God wants to help you. But you need to dwell with Him in quiet time. Notice in verse number 4, there's an abundance of abundance in life. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. You know, one reason why we sing God's praise is because we just experience His goodness. I'm telling you, when you go and dwell in the house of the Lord, in your quiet time, in your private devotion, as you read His Word, as you pray, as you sing songs of hymns to Him, as you make offering of yourself to Him and recommit yourself to Him, as you give Him your attention, my friends, there is incredible, wonderful, promising blessing and abundance. And then in verse number 7, I want you to see this wonderful promise. And that is in verse 7, they go from strength to strength, and each one appears before God in Zion. Hallelujah. That means that you as a believer, you're going to get there. You're going to get to Zion. We're marching on to Zion, the wonderful city of God. We can experience Zion in our hearts today, but one day we're going to a Zion, a high and holy Zion, where the presence of God dwells in unveiled glory, and we will experience the joy and the power and the reality of being face to face with God. And the promise is that those who set their hearts on pilgrimage, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. Those are some of the wonderful, profitable potentials of a daily quiet time. Now, let me just say very quickly, I've got to say it quickly this morning, but I want you to notice in verse number 5, there is the pathway priorities for a daily devotion with the Lord. And this is the key, and this is it right here this morning. And that is this. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. And that simply means those who look to God for strength. Well, how does God strengthen me? I'll tell you how God strengthens me. I pray and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then I say, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I don't have the strength, but you do. How do I get strength from God? Those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It's about waiting on Him. It's about looking to Him for strength. It's about doing what I know I must and I should do and then letting Him strengthen me. By the way, I was reading Oswald Chambers last week, and Oswald Chambers said, listen, are you worn out for the Lord? And I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He basically said, well, don't be a crybaby about that. That's why God made you. He made you to serve Him, to expend your life for Him. The Apostle Paul said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And when you get worn out for the Lord, then you go back to the well and you wait upon the Lord for strength. Yeah, you get weary, but I'm just here to tell you, God strengthens. So the Bible says the priority ought to be a priority of seeking strength from Him. But then secondly, and this is crucial for your quiet time, it says, in whose heart are the highways of Zion? I like the way the NIV translates this. It says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in the Lord. And then it says, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. I got to close it down here this morning, folks, because I'm just out of time. But I've got to tell you this. The key to a personal worship and devotion time that brings these blessings into your life is for you to set your heart on pilgrimage into the dwelling of the Lord. It means you must determine in your mind that the quiet time and the devotion life is the first priority of every single day. Commune with God. People worried so much back when Jesus was on the earth. People worry so much today. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew 6? He said, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink. He said, don't worry about your wear. Don't worry about all these things. He said, your Father already knows that you need these things even before you ask Him. But Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will provide all of your necessities. We cling to things. We cling to relationships. We cling to position. We cling to control. We cling to this and that, and we act like if we lose a little bit of this or a little bit of that, we've lost everything. Listen, you can lose everything in a moment because time and chance happens to every one of us, the Bible says. And riches, they fly away like a bird in the sky. But the one thing you can be sure of is that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you want His powerful presence to make a difference in your life, you must abide in Him. Set your heart on pilgrimage for a daily quiet time devotion with God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Help us, O God, to not miss the wonderful blessings and promises You have for those who dwell in Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.